It's member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, HPR, and All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you so much for joining us. A fun Friday that we're having here in our Atherton Performing Arts Studio. It's one of my favorite spaces to get to be in. Joined today by three-quarters of the Manhattan Transfer. You may have been listening when we had Cheryl Benteen as our guest last week through Sunday at the Blue Note. Cheryl's joined by Janice Siegel, Trist Curlis. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having
us. Our pleasure.
Yeah. It's great to have you here. And how did the first set of dates go here?
Fantastic. This is a dream gig. The audiences have been extremely responsive to, and two shows a night gives us a chance to really go through some of our repertoire. We have a couple of songs, you know.
Right. We were just joking about that before the interview with Trist. Explain how putting together the set list works when you have, like you were saying, all of this material.
It's tough because you have to negotiate between your artistic desires and the reality of what your audience is there for.
Right.
Grateful to have songs that people show up wanting to hear. So we kind of need to give some of that. So there's definitely songs that people are expecting to hear while still doing songs from deep within the catalog that we haven't maybe done in a while, or any new thing that we have. So you have to keep that in check with, oh, right, but people want to hear these songs that were big hits or that the fans have enjoyed over the years. So it's usually just a balance of that, kind of making sure everyone is represented in the set.
And Cheryl, is there ever any market-specific songs?
Italy. They went nuts for Soul Food to Go. Okay. That was a huge thing. Speak Up Mambo. Was that
in
more
Spain?
The
Chanson d'Amour, we only perform in Europe, then only certain countries, where it means nothing in the United States.
Right. Yeah, it's always fascinating to me, and I knew with a band like this that it would have those.
Oh, and Smile Again in the Philippines.
Janice, can you tell the interesting story of how it was Tim's taxi driving that led to some band members meeting each other?
That's completely true. Tim was driving a cab in Manhattan to make ends meet. He had just disbanded the first group, or they went on without him. They had one record on Capitol called Jukin, and he was working construction, and then it was too hard on him. So he got a cabbie license. He actually picked up Laurel Massey.
Right.
As a fare, 2 a.m. one New York evening. She was in hot pants, I believe, and he always did love tall blondes. She was a blonde at that time, and she flagged him down, and she sat in the back seat and said, "What do you do besides drive a cab?" That opened up the floodgates, and she said, "Well, I really want to be a singer, and why don't we go out for coffee?" And he took her number to come sing on a demo he was doing, and then I met him through the cab as well.
Boyfriend of Laurel's that was working on Broadway, who introduced you and Tim to Alan.
That's correct. Yeah, Alan was in the original cast of Grease.
And Cheryl, again, who was my guest already on the phone prior to getting here, we didn't really get into it too much, but we were talking about Ahmet Erdogan and his role with the band. Cheryl mentioned some special gigs when we were talking on the phone. One was that 1988 Atlantic Records 40th anniversary.
Mm. Yeah, it was one of many incredible nights with Ahmet. The thing I remember most, though, is the night he saw us.
The first time.
Yes. That was at the Bijou Cafe in Philadelphia. We could not get a record deal, but our real hope was to be on Atlantic Records just because of their history. Our manager at the time, Aaron Russo, who also managed Bette Midler, that was a changing point in our career. He had the clout and the power and the sheer force of will to get Ahmet into a limousine along with various refreshments and drive him to Philadelphia.
From New York.
Yeah, from New York. And Ahmet saw us perform and signed us right after.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What a story. You guys have something coming up. You did a tour with Take Six. It got documented. People will be able to experience that.
You get a taste of what the other group is about, yet you still know that you are part of seeing something that you could only see at that show with the two groups together, to also be able to capture it for PBS, the show Soundstage.
So that'll be out in the fall, and also our new record.
That's correct.
The Junction.
They're both becoming
out. Yeah, they both come out. Time. Bam!
It's a full-on assault from the
Manhattan
Transfer in 2017. Very busy group of folks. Mm-hmm. They're through Sunday, busy here in Honolulu at the Blue Note. It's been a thrill to have Cheryl Benteen, Janice Siegel, Trist Curlis, Manhattan Transfer, joining us in our HPR Atherton Performing Arts Studio as part of All Things Considered. Hope you had fun today.
Yes, absolutely. Very much so.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Aloha, it's Cheryl Benteen.
Aloha, it's Trist Curlis.
Aloha, it's Janice Siegel.
We're the Manhattan Transfer.
You're right where you should be.
You're tuned to our friend Dave Lawrence.
1, 2, 3. Oh, operator.
Operator.
Information.
Information.
Give me Jesus.
Jesus, Father.